I would like for you to take the Word of God and turn with me, please, to the New Testament book of Luke. The Gospel according to Luke, the 10th chapter. And we'll begin reading in just a moment from Luke chapter 10 and verse 1. It's my joy and privilege to speak with these high school graduates. If just giving in to my desire, what I'd like to see happen, I could say, this is what you should do. And give you a list of things. But the greater way to do this is to have taught you certain principles and a way that you can discover what God wants you to do. And you come to that conclusion. At some juncture in life, what you've always wanted is going to come true. And when it does, you won't be ready for it. At some juncture in your life, there'll be no one around to tell you what to do. You'll be left all on your own with every decision to make. And then think, I wish someone could give me some direction or guidance in this matter. Typically, when people come to graduate from high school, we sort of associate the idea that they're grown up now. That's not necessarily true. Some people have to get grown up a long time before they graduate from high school. While other people have been high school graduates for 20 or 30 years that have never really grown up. I want to give you some things from God's Word I hope that will help you, and I'd like you to write them down. I want to let God speak for Himself. That's what ministers should do. They should be messengers and allow the Lord to speak for Himself. So we're going to take a subject. What do you know for sure? And I want you to underline the word sure. What do you know for sure? You can say, I understand this. This is absolutely something I am sure of. What do you know for sure? If that question had been put to me when I was sitting in your place, I remember it well. Being in your place, my wife and I graduated from high school together. I was the principal's pet at our high school. I don't mind saying that now that most of my friends are so far away they could never hear it, and the high school principal is dead. But he said that. I was his pet long after I got out of school. I don't know why God gave me such favor with him and why he had such favor with me. I looked at him like a spiritual father, and he looked at me like a son. God has done that for me with numbers of people through the years, and I'm grateful for it. But someone would ask me, what do you know for sure? My answer would have been short, simple, and not very biblical. What I want your answer to be is short, simple, and biblical. Let's look at this, please. From Luke chapter 10, beginning with verse 1. After these things, the Lord appointed other 70 also, and sent them two and two before his face into every city and place, whither he himself would come. Therefore said he unto them, the harvest truly is great, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest, that he would send forth laborers into his harvest. Go your ways. Behold, I send you forth as lambs among wolves. Carry neither purse nor scrip nor shoes, and salute no man by the way. And into whatsoever house you enter, first say, peace be to this house. And if the Son of Peace be there, your peace shall rest upon it. If not, it shall return to you again. And in the same house remain eating and drinking such things as they give, for the laborer is worthy of his hire. Go not from house to house. And into whatsoever city you enter, and they receive you, eat such things as they set before you. And heal the sick that are therein, and say unto them, the kingdom of God is come nigh unto you. But into whatsoever city you enter, and they receive you not, go your ways out of the streets of the same and say, even the very dust of your city, which cleaveth on us, we do wipe off against you. Notwithstanding, be ye sure of this, that the kingdom of God is come nigh unto you. But I say unto you that it shall be more tolerable in that day for Sodom than for that city. Now, if you're in the habit of marking things in your Bible, and I hope you are by this stage of your life, you come to this 11th verse and underline this expression, be ye sure of this. Be ye sure of this. I ask the question, what are you sure of? I'm going to give you an illustration here. Jesus said to these followers of his, when you go to a certain city to take the message of the kingdom to them, and they receive you, they offer you eat and drink, accept it. Don't feel badly about that. The servant is worthy of his hire. But when you go to a city and they do not receive you, when they do not receive you, be ye sure of this. And notice the very words God gives us. That the kingdom of God is come nigh unto you. You need to know this. That you've had your opportunity. The kingdom of God is come nigh unto you. You've had your opportunity. Be sure of it. When I'm called on to speak about Christian education, and we have a Christian school, a private Christian school, when I'm called on to speak on a subject concerning education, I say that a private Christian school does not offer a guarantee. It only provides an opportunity. There's a world of difference between a guarantee and an opportunity. But you're given an opportunity. If you take that opportunity and make much of that opportunity and receive that opportunity and do everything you can with that opportunity, you become a wiser person for it. And you look back on it and say, what an opportunity God gave me. And I made the absolute best of my God-given opportunity. But if you're given a God-given opportunity and you don't receive it, someday you'll look back and you'll think of how that opportunity was wasted. But there's more to it than that. When you meet God, God will say, be ye sure of this. Be sure of this. That the kingdom of God is come nigh unto you. God and his wonderful work and what he had to say to guide your life, to help you, came so very close to you. And you didn't receive it. I've had the opportunity to travel and preach on every continent of the world. Isn't that a great thing? God has given me the health and strength to do that, and I'm very grateful for it. But I love nothing more than the opportunity to be at home and be the pastor of this church and have the opportunity like the opportunity I'm having right now. Because all of us want to think that our lives have counted for something specific, and that is to make a difference in the lives of other people. I had a young father come to me just today and said, my son is now a certain age and he's on drugs. And he asked us all to pray for that young man, those of us listening to him in the group. And he said, you know, once he was in our Christian school here, once he heard what I'm hearing now, so he was saved. But he didn't take the opportunity that he had to make the most of it. And I want to say to you, it's not just an idea that you passed away 12 years in school or 13 or whatever the case may be. It's what passed your way. And I want you to know through a teacher, through family, perhaps through a pastor, through a Christian friend, Jesus Christ passed your way. You can be sure of that. Jesus Christ passed your way. What did you do with him? I want to show you just a few things. Every time you see the word sure, I want you to mark it down. Would you please? If you'll turn with me to the gospel according to John, the 6th chapter. John, the 6th chapter. Things are getting tough with the disciples. They're following the Lord and he's getting some hard sayings. And the Bible says when some people heard these hard sayings of Jesus, they turned away. And in John chapter 6, we'll begin with verse 66. The Bible says, from that time many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. Then said Jesus unto the 12, will ye also go away? Then Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life, and we believe and are sure. I want you to mark that little word, sure. And we believe and are sure that thou art that Christ, the Son of the living God. You can know for sure that Jesus Christ is the Son of God and the only way of salvation. You can know that for sure. You may not start out that way. You know there's a God. You know God exists. There's a testimony in your conscience that there's a God that exists. There's a testimony in nature that God exists. But then you've heard the truth about who Christ is. You don't need to be deterred from that, turned away from that. You need to receive it. And as you walk in it and receive it, it'll become stronger and stronger in you that Jesus Christ is truly God, co-equal, co-existent, eternally existent with God, that he is the Christ, the Son of God. Sure, you can know that for sure. Do you know that for sure? Never to turn from it? Never to be moved from it? I want you to turn with me again, if you would please, to the book of Romans. Romans chapter 1 opens for us, and Paul begins to deal with the subject of what God does in the human race and what happens to people as they respond favorably or unfavorably to God. He tells us in the very first chapter of what happens to people when they reject God. Then you come to chapter 2 of Romans, and the Bible says in verse 1 of chapter 2, therefore, thou art inexcusable, O man, whosoever thou art that judgest, for wherein thou judgest another, thou condemnest thyself. For thou that judgest dost the same things. But we are sure, would you mark that word? But we are sure that the judgment of God is according to truth against them which commit such things. Now, he's given a long list of things that you hear about all the time in the world, and people degrade to doing these things. And God says, this one thing you can be sure of, that God has assigned a day of judgment, when we will stand face to face with him and meet him and give an account for our lives. Notice again, if you would please, you've marked the word sure in verse 2 of Romans chapter 2. Let me just reinforce that in the 14th chapter of Romans, if you'll look there, please. In verse 11, in Romans 14, it says, for it is written, as I live, saith the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess to God. So then every one of us shall give an account of himself to God. There's no doubt about this. There's no doubt about it. You can be sure that there's a judgment. The book of Philippians tells us in Philippians chapter 2, if you want to write the verses down, in verse 9 and following, the Bible says in Philippians 2, verse 9, wherefore God hath also highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. What do you know for sure? Well, you can know for sure that Jesus is God's Son. You can know for sure that you've had your opportunity. You can know for sure there's a coming judgment. What do you know for sure? What are you sure about? Turn with me again, if you would please, to the book of 2 Timothy, chapter 2. 2 Timothy, chapter 2. The Word of God says in verse 15, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Then he tells us what to shun. And then he tells us in verse 17 of chapter 2 in 2 Timothy, and their word will eat as doth a canker, these people who turn against the Lord, of whom Hymenaeus and Philetus are these kind of people who've been eaten up with this, who concerning the truth have erred, saying that the resurrection is past already and overthrown the faith of some. And then God says, look, when you get so worked up about all these people, it may be in a college classroom, it may be somewhere in a workplace, it may be some peer who comes up with some idea that's against God and gets God's word, God says, let me tell you what you can be sure of. Look at it for yourself. Put your eyes on it. Verse 19, 2 Timothy chapter 2. Nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure. It doesn't change things. I've heard so many ridiculous things against God and against God's word and against the Christian life for years and years and years. But the foundation of God standeth sure. You know friends and people and associates who have tried to make it all move, who bang their head against it, who deny it's the truth, who try another way. They think somehow or another it's going to move for them. But God says, no. When it's all done, when all your effort is over, when you're totally exhausted, you're going to find out the foundation of God standeth sure. But look what he adds to that verse. I think it's most amazing what he adds to that verse in the next part of it. Having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are his. Did you know that you have a seal on your life if you're a Christian? I don't know what it is. I don't see it. But God sees it. You're sealed to the day of redemption. And God knows every person who belongs to him. Every person that belongs to him. When you came to Christ and gave Christ your life, you became his possession. You're not your own. You've been bought with a price. Notice something else he says. And let everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. God says, in light of the foundation of God standeth sure, remember this, the Lord knows who his children are. And all his children depart from iniquity. You can be sure of that. What are you sure of? Let's look again. I'm just trying to let the Lord speak for himself here. In the book of Hebrews, in the sixth chapter, the Bible says, as this discussion is going on about the Lord and his greatness, in the 19th verse of Hebrews chapter 6, the Word of God talks about hope. And he declares, which hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure, would you mark that word again, and steadfast, which entereth into that within the veil. The anchor of the soul is sure. If you are navigating something in some terribly treacherous sea or in the air, I've been on planes sometimes, I think, Lord, I'm not going to get out of this. I was on one time that turned nearly upside down. You said, were you frightened? Absolutely. Absolutely. You didn't have grace? No, I wasn't dying. If I'd been dying, I'd been a little more different than I was, because I thought, well, I've got dying grace now. This thing's going down. But things can get awfully shaky. But the most treacherous things are not travel, storms, and seas, and airplanes. The most treacherous thing are the trials you'll face in life. I don't want to frighten you. I really don't want to frighten you. It's all in God's hands. You may go on for years and not have anything much to deal with. But when something does come that wants to blow you off course, I want you to be sure of something. That you have an anchor for your soul that's steadfast and sure. You have an anchor for your soul that's steadfast and sure. You can rely on the Lord. He will never fail you. That's what he says. You can know that for sure. Let me show you something else. If you'll write it down, please. In the book of 2 Peter chapter 1. 2 Peter chapter 1. The Bible is talking about experience as compared to what God says. And we take up the subject in the 17th verse of chapter 1 in 2 Peter. And he's talking about being an eyewitness of Jesus Christ and His majesty on the Transfiguration Mount when Jesus was transfigured in His glory. He says, "For He received from God the Father honor and glory when there came such a voice to Him from the excellent glory, 'This is My beloved Son in whom I am well pleased.'" Now, can you imagine standing on a mountain, Peter, James, and John with Jesus, and then suddenly Moses, who's been gone for centuries, and Elijah, who never died, but's been gone, are standing on the mountain with Jesus. And Jesus is transfigured into the glorious likeness He shall come in someday. Imagine that. And so, you're standing there, and now Peter's writing about it. And you say, if I could just have been there and seen Jesus in His glory, and I could have seen Moses and Elijah and been there on that mountain. Peter got so excited about it, he said, let's build a tabernacle here and stay here. But when he's writing, he says this. Listen very carefully. Verse 19. "We have also a more sure word of prophecy." We've got something that is sure, not just an experience. We have a sure word of prophecy, a more sure. "Whereunto you do well that you take heed, as unto a light that shineth in a dark place, until the day dawn and the day star arise in your hearts, knowing this first, that no prophecy of the Scripture is of any private interpretation. For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost." Peter declares here, the most sure thing we have is the Word of God. It liveth and abideth forever. Did you know in my lifetime, many of the textbooks I used in school have changed? Most every book on science has changed. Not just physical science, chemistry, or anything like that. Social sciences. Different definitions given to different things. People, different ideas now. In the 70s, so many things changed that every psychological book and every psychiatry book, Every freshman psychology book had to be rewritten. And we have revisionists now revising history, telling us it was a certain way when it really wasn't that way. Constantly what people are teaching is changing. The way they value things and evaluate things, they saying that now this was more important, maybe it wasn't this way, whatever the case may be. What can you be sure of? I picked up an article in Time magazine the other day, and they said now there are 60 identifiable genders. God says it's just men and women. But they said, no. There's 60 identifiable genders. 60. And all of them have found a landing place on social media to bring their group in. So, I'm sure somebody's finding 61 or 62 now. And this is a bunch of nonsense. What in the world can you be sure of? You can be sure of the Word of God. It never changes. It liveth and abideth forever. That's all I'm saying to you. You don't have to drift through life and be like everybody else, blown about by every wind of doctrine and captured by every fascinating idea. You don't have to do that at all. You've been to a place where Jesus could speak to you and pass by. Well, you heard about the kingdom. You had an opportunity to know the Lord. If you've come to know Him, you can know He's truly God. You can know you're going to meet Him someday. Right? You're going to meet Him someday. Think of that. You can know all these things for sure that we've talked about. And that's the kind of young people we want to send out into the world who know they have a certain future because God is with them. And you have something to say. And you do have something to say. And the world needs to hear it. People around you need to hear it. And God will bless you for saying it. Let's bow in prayer together, may we?